The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I'm John Heumann, and I am joined today by Intelligent Ultrasound Chief Exec Stuart Gall to talk us through their H1 22 results. Welcome, Stuart.
Yeah, hello. Good to see you again.
Firstly, congratulations on what looked like a fantastic set of results. Leaves you well on track to hit your 10 million sales target for the year. And it really suggests the classroom to clinic strategy is working. You talk us through that strategy and the highlights of this statement and how it really demonstrates the progress you're making there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's been a really good 6 months. I've got to say it's been our best start to the year ever. What does classroom to clinic mean? Well, so we're an ultrasound business. And what we're trying to do is making basically clinical diagnostic ultrasound easier to learn and simpler to use. And we do that by giving simulation tools that teach doctors in the classroom how to scan ultrasound. And then we follow them into clinic and give them AI-based software tools that help them scan faster or scan better. And this has been, so I think, from a results perspective, we've done exactly what we said we'd do this year and probably surpassed what we thought we could do. And most importantly has been, we're starting to see the sort of the start of the AI side of the revenues to start to build. I think clearly it's been a great start to the year from simulation revenue. Obviously, we're up over 50%, storming year from the UK, half year from the UK. But I think when you look at the AI side, one of the big things in there is that our AI software was integrated onto the Expert 22. It's a GE machine, the Women's Healthcare Volison range. Their biggest selling machine is the Expert. They've launched their new Expert 22, and we are on there as an optional extra. And that happened in July. So although that was just after the period end, actually, that's a really significant event for us, because I think that's going to be sort of a key driver for growth in 2023. And really, everyone wants to see the AI side of the business take off. And so that's one of the sort of pillars of our AI business. But we've also got two other products in the market. We've got our ScanNav Anatomy PMB product, which is for local anesthesia. That is launched in the UK, but we're expecting soon to get FDA clearance at some point in this half of the year. So that's a really important next step. And also we've got a needle trainer product, which is out in the marketplace. So these three AI products are all out there and all starting to show traction. And I think that's why it's a sort of big moment for us. And we're looking forward to both second half of this year, but really importantly, 2023 and what it can bring.
Mm. So, let's start with clinical AI. I mean, the revenues are up fivefold, a huge jump, albeit from a small base. Yeah. But as you say, the extension of the agreement with GE into the Expert 22, their biggest selling machine, didn't come until after the period end. So presumably you're expecting, significant progress there in the rest of the year.
Yeah. And I think, like any product that you're selling in the medical sector, things take time. They don't sort of instantly just take off. You've got to basically get key opinion leader buy-in. You've got to show a product to hospitals. You've got to show papers that support why this product is good, and you show case studies. I mean, obviously, from our perspective, the good thing is that, we're partnered with GE, biggest ultrasound company in the world. And so they are doing all that. And we are basically integrated into their machine as an optional add-on, but they're the ones that sell the machine. They're the best in the world at doing that. We're only a small company based in Wales. They're a world leader. So having them do that is clearly very good for us and an important step. And I think that being on this, the Expert 22, I think that we should start to see that roll out and start to see the take up of that. And obviously that's what we're encouraged by. That's what we think, the market wants to see. And we'll be watching it closely over the coming months.
Mm. I mean, in terms of your own selling opportunities, it's been a tough couple of years. COVID obviously meant that, a lot of medical conferences were shut down. Getting into hospitals to sell yourself was tricky. Are you starting to see that open up again? And presumably it must, if it is, it must be helping a great deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously in the UK and the US, we clearly have. I do think, though, it's not a global opening up. We've just got to look at our rest of the world figures for simulation, and they were down, really massively influenced by the fact that China, one of our biggest markets overseas, is virtually closed in terms of travel. That really restricts your ability to go in when you've got a blanket ban. I think there are other countries that have been affected. You know, part of Europe, it's been much harder to get around in Germany, for example, to sell in Germany hospitals. France has been harder. So it has affected us. And then clearly you've obviously got the war in Ukraine, and that's obviously affected us because we now, you know, we can't sell to our Russian reseller. And when you add all those up, it's, there's been really positives, but there's been a few negatives. And, you know, most of those down to still the hangover from COVID, still that tail is still there.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you've delivered these results in the face of that, that massive that headwind. Just turning to simulation quickly, you mentioned there that there'd been, you know, problems overseas, particularly in China, where you know, as their zero COVID policies essentially shut the country down. But the UK saw massive success. And I think you mentioned that there were some big one-off direct sales to the NHS, which is encouraging. You know, what are the chances of those sort of things being repeated? I guess would be the question that the market's answering.
Yeah, so I think, you know, ironically, in the simulation business, you could argue that all our sales are one-offs. You know, we don't have recurring revenue sales that go through, you know, or very, very small amount. But so what we felt we wanted to show here was that we had what we considered to be an exceptional order. It wasn't a single order, but there was access to funds from a particular group within the NHS that needed simulators and had the funds to do it. And we were lucky to take advantage of that with a number of hospitals. And because we're not considering that would happen again at the same period next year, we wanted to highlight that. But generally, there are, you know, grants available, funding rounds available that you can take advantage of every year. It's not necessarily that you can guarantee when they are or which country they're in. But from a UK perspective, we had a, you know, absolutely fantastic year. It was sales were up at 4 million. It's our best ever sales. We're really well embedded within all the big NHS teaching hospitals, within the teaching departments, within our relevant products. And really what we want to do is try and replicate that all over the world. You know, we've got our direct sales team in America. They had an okay start to the year, slightly down. That probably was expected, looking to have a strong second half of the year. And we want to replicate how well we've done in the UK with our American team, which has grown in the year. We've invested in more salespeople. We've got a bigger coverage in America. And then how can we also do that in the rest of the world? How can we grow our sales in France and in Germany and the rest of Europe and in the Gulf states and the Far East?
Do you think there's pent up demand for training? You know, COVID, obviously the focus of health services obviously shifted. Do you think that's actually meant that a lot of training sort of not fell by the wayside, but perhaps wasn't as invested in as it was throughout that period?
I think actually what happened was that COVID always highlighted how important simulation is to teaching and how important it is to keep your training going. And so that's what we felt, was that actually there was the demand came from suddenly people realizing how effective simulation is, or a high fidelity simulation is, at teaching doctors, clinical professionals how to scan. And so it sort of reopened the door to simulation. People suddenly recognizing, actually, we need this. We can't let things get to the point where you don't have really consistent training. So we need training to be a really important part of the budgets going forward. And hopefully that will carry on.
Absolutely. So just turning back to products, you mentioned that you've obviously now got three AI products in the market, a very, very sort of broad suite of simulation products. You know, you've continued to spend on R&D throughout the period. So, you know, what have you been focusing on and what have you got in the pipeline there?
Okay. So from a simulation side, it's been, you know, we've now got four products in the marketplace, whereas 3 years ago, we only had two. So I think the important thing has been increasing the breadth of our product range so we can sell them through our pipeline, our sales pipeline. So we're now in sort of four big key sectors of the simulation, medical simulation market. And really we focus there on product improvement, plus the one big launch, which was our new BabyWorks product. And then I think on the, you know, the key thing on the clinical side is we've now got three products in the clinical range. So we've got our GE product that's out in the market now and, you know, launched on their second machine. We've got our AI product that is our own product that we sell through our own device that plugs into any ultrasound machine. And that product's called ScanNav Anatomy PMB, CE approved now, but also expected to get FDA clearance in the second half of this year. So that's a big stepping point to have our second FDA approved product in the marketplace. And, you know, the team have worked really hard on the first half of this year to make that happen. And then the third product in the AI range is Needle Trainer. So Needle Trainer is this sort of hybrid between simulation and AI. and it's about teaching how to needle on a live patient. And that is launching in September with a handheld sort of all-in-one device. So we're in effect selling to the marketplace a classroom device to teach you how to do the needling, and then a clinical product that you put into the clinic to help you when you're doing it. And that's a classic example of our classroom to clinic approach.
Yeah, it sounds like a sort of virtuous circle. As you know, as people are trained up in simulation, they then perhaps are more comfortable using your AI products in a clinical setting.
I think that's quite a nice way of putting it, because I think that's exactly right. You learn on our product, you go and use the related product, and then if you want to go back and learn more, you can learn on the same product. But then also people see you in that loop and see how you improve. So, yeah, we're really hopeful for what that's going to do for us in 2023, because that now is part of our range of products that we're selling. And clearly, as a business, where we want to be, you know, dramatically growing our revenues, and we want the AI side of the business to, in effect, be selling the same amount as the simulation side of the business, it's really important that these products are on the market with the right awareness, with the right support, and selling and generating revenues.
I mean, it all sounds like the strategy is taking you very much in the right direction towards that break-even point. Obviously, you know, it looks like you've been conservatively managing your budgets as to how you get there. The efficiency behind the business, is how important is that in this sort of process from going from, you know, essentially a tech developer to a commercial business?
Yeah, and I think it's always difficult for a company like us. You know, any company is in the situation, if it's got a really great bit of technology it's bringing to marketplace, but it's still a cash-burning business, albeit that's reducing and tapering down. Clearly, getting to that inflection point is huge, especially in current market. So managing your cash against what you invest in, but also, and this is the harder bit, is investing against new product take-up revenue curves. You know, and it's, we've all done forecasting. You forecast one, this is what we hope for, this is what we'll probably get, this is what the worst case is. And, you know, at the top end, you're saying we don't ever need more money. And at the bottom end, you say you do need more money. And it's trying to balance that. And, you know, we're no different. And that's what we've been doing for the last 12 months, is really trying to manage, I think, what we're achieving with the money we've got relative to a lot of other players in the marketplace who are raising hundreds of millions of dollars, and what we've actually done in achieving and launching and getting FDA approval for products and products in market. Actually, we've performed tremendously well, and it's about keeping that going.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've talked about product development and product investment, but actually, I presume behind this as well, you know, to get to that commercialization point, there is an investment in the sales force as well, which you allude to in the statement. You talk us through what you're doing there, direct sales in particular being enormously successful last 6 months.
Yes, and I think so. What we've looked to do is say, look, America's going to be is clearly a massively important market for us. It's a big market, so you can't do it with just two or three people. We've taken the step of starting to increase the size of that team. But not only have they got a simulation product to sell, but we're now about to obviously have a clinical AI product that we can go and sell, and that we can actually sell into a lot of our existing simulation customers, because anesthesiology department might have a training device where we can actually go and sell them the clinical device as well. So building that team up, we're taking those first steps in doing that. You know, we're not a GE yet, but we are increasing the size of that team. And I think that's an important step for us, now we've got the product, is also have the ability to go and sell it and take advantage of that.
And then looking towards the horizon or over the horizon, yeah. You know, the business so far is built around, you know, gynecology and the sort of women's health side of things. Presumably this technology can be applied in many, many areas of healthcare.
I absolutely. And I think, to be honest, I think every single manufacturer in every single speciality will have AI integrated into their machines or into them some sort of software add-on over the next 10 years. And so it's all about being part of that picture. Clearly, what we've done, we believe we can do in other areas. So we've got three AI platforms here. We would absolutely like to add a fourth and a fifth to that in the bigger sort of detect diagnosis marketplace, and that is part of our strategy. It is what we want to do in the long term.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense, particularly given, you know, the budget pressures a lot of healthcare services are under. If this can make them more efficient, it sounds like a perfect match.
Yes, well, I think, and, you know, what's really interesting about that, the efficiency is important, and, you know, so, you know, our software for the obstetric side is all about helping you scan faster. It's helping give you support in terms of audit. Did you scan the right things? But actually, you've also got to remember that you don't want to burn people out. It's all very well saying, scan more. You want to help support them and take away the pressure. And one of the nice things about our AI is that it actually helps relieve the pressure because you know you've got this safety net that is checked. Did you meet the protocol? And you get it in real time back to you. And I think that's a really important thing. You may scan and be able to scan more, but you'll also be able to know that you can scan with slightly less pressure, which I think is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Stuart, thanks. Thanks for your time today. It's been fantastic talking to you, and congratulations once again on a really, really solid set of results.
Thank you very much. Good to talk again.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.